We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. White House stops release of some JFK assassination documents. We've got the story.
A Senate panel backs Brownback for Religious Freedom Post. I'm Dan O'Neill.
A drug take-back this weekend in Sedgwick County. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. The furnace may get fired up for the first time tonight. Our much colder forecast is on the way.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee has approved the nomination of Kansas Governor Sam Brownback to be U.S. Ambassador-at-Large for International Religious Freedom.
On an 11-10 vote Thursday, the panel recommended that the full Senate consider President Trump's selection of Brownback for the State Department post. Brownback thanked the committee in a tweet for, quote, voting on my nomination favorably. During his confirmation hearing, Brownback defended a decision as Kansas governor to scrap an executive order that barred discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. He said that state lawmakers should have resolved the matter, not the governor. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Firefighters worked a couple of large fires in the Wichita area yesterday afternoon. One was in the town of Sedgwick at a salvage yard in the 300 block of North Washington. Fire Chief Scott Metzler tells KSN News they got a call that a grass fire was putting some nearby buildings in danger.
The wind is a huge factor in our response, and it made the fire much more difficult to fight. As I said, there were no injuries. We didn't have to evacuate any homeowners.
That fire engulfed a nearby salvage yard, damaging more than four dozen cars. The other fire was south of El Dorado. Butler County Sheriff Kelly Herzit says that fire began when a man was cleaning out a fire pit and getting rid of a stump. That stump still had some embers caught on fire at the landfill. Some homes in the area were evacuated, but no damage was reported.
The White House is ordering that some documents on the Kennedy assassination not be released yet.
President Trump saying he had no choice but to keep some documents from being made public just yet, claiming the CIA and FBI were citing national security concerns. Under the President John F. Kennedy Assassination Records Collection Act, all the documents were supposed to be released Thursday. But now some of the records will be kept under wraps for at least another 180 days. University of Virginia historian Larry Sapito says the delay's a bad idea.
It's going to feed the conspiracy theories forever.
And WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange sending out a tweet saying the delay is inexcusable. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
The House passed a budget Thursday, clearing the way for them to work on tax reform. Fox's Chad Pergram says Republicans have a long way to go to get tax reform done. A markup session may happen next week.
A markup session in the House of Representatives is where the Ways and Means Committee goes through the bill. This will take probably several days, maybe even going deep into the night in some instances, and they rewrite the bill line by line. They propose amendments and alterations, and it's voted up or down, and then you report out the bill, you vote on the bill, you get it out of committee. The House of Representatives wants to put out that text, get it through a committee, and get it onto the House floor before Thanksgiving. And then it's on to the Senate. That is a very ambitious timetable.
Democrats have called the GOP tax reform plan a tax cut for the rich.
A 64-year-old woman was attacked and robbed at her home in southwest Wichita. The woman returned to her home near Harry and Waco about 10 o'clock Wednesday night.
She had arrived home from work, and when she entered her residence, she saw two unknown suspects wearing masks and were in the process of taking things. One of the suspects struck the victim several times before taking her purse and also a deposit bag that was in the house as well, and they fled the residence. The victim sustained injuries.
Police officer Charlie Davidson says the woman ran to a nearby liquor store for help. The two male suspects were wearing hoodies with bandanas covering their faces. The loss from the bank deposit bag from the woman's place of business was about $100.
The National Take Back Initiative will take place tomorrow in Sedgwick County. Sheriff Sergeant Lloyd Brownlee tells KNSS News officials will collect any expired or unwanted prescriptions or over-the-counter medications.
The Take Back program is a collaborative effort between federal law enforcement, the DEA, and the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office to give the citizens of Sedgwick County an opportunity to properly dispose of no longer needed, unwanted, or expired medications that they have around the house.
The free initiative will take place from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. tomorrow. Three drop-off locations are the Sedgwick County Zoo, the Household Hazardous Waste Center, and the Oaklawn Activity Center. Please note that syringes and other injectables cannot be accepted. KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Just a few minutes away from our weekly live chat with Mitch Holtis, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll preview this week's Chiefs game coming up with Mitch. Just a few minutes. Do not miss it.
A new effort seeks legal controls on bump stocks for rifles. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Testing is about to begin on President Trump's border wall prototypes.
In a month, Customs and Border Protection will begin testing to see how easily these wall prototypes can be scaled, breached, and dug under.
All new wall that the Border Patrol is asking for will have a buried cable sensor in it, so it will recognize. The technology will tell agents and the response teams that there's somebody approaching the wall, and then things like digging and tunneling will be detected by that equipment as well.
CBP Acting Deputy Commissioner Ronald Vitiello says testing will take up to 60 days. Then they'll figure out what they like best, but it may be several different factors about each of the different prototypes. Vitiello says it's all part of a learning process.
This will inform future new wall.
Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
A National Football League franchise is partnering with law enforcement groups across the country. It's an effort to bring about new legislation regarding bump stocks.
I commend these police officer associations for supporting common sense measures to ban devices that allow for the conversion of a gun into an automatic weapon, such as those used by the man in Las Vegas.
San Francisco 49ers CEO Jed York explained to reporters Thursday the idea behind the team's pledge for a more understanding and safer America. The pledge, which has been formed in partnership with law enforcement agencies, is also aiming to foster better relations between communities and law enforcement. The 49ers have pledged $500,000 to the effort and have also invited other NFL teams to join them in signing the pledge. Ryan Mayer, Fox News.
The Mid-America All-Indian Center is located at the confluence of the Arkansas and Little Arkansas Rivers in central Wichita. Museum Director Sarah Adams tells KNSS News the center entertains many visitors.
We get people from, you know, not just in town, but we get people from all over the country, and we get people from out of the country, too. I get a lot of foreign visitors as well that are very interested in American Indians.
This is our guest this weekend on Issues 2017, Sunday morning at 8 here on KNSS. KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
And we still have a crash being worked. They reported this northbound lanes of I-135 south of K-96. So up there by the North Junction, watch for a big traffic slowdown. Avoid that one if you can. Again, that's northbound I-135 right around K-96. Traffic update from KNSS Radio. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Temperatures have fallen into the 30s across south central Kansas this morning, and it's not going to warm up much at all today. Our high 47 will have gusty northwest winds, making it feel colder throughout the afternoon. A freeze warning in effect overnight, our low 26, and then sunny and cool Saturday, but not as windy with a high 54. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now, partly cloudy, we have north wind at 15 miles per hour and 34 degrees. 8:10 now with Steve and Ted again. Yesterday's high was 73 before the wind switched around late in the day, and it cooled off quite a bit. But had a cold front come through yesterday afternoon. Authorities say a Utah man ducked into a church to flee from police, only to end up having to call them for help. Police in Salt Lake City say 46-year-old Shane Paul Owen called dispatchers for help more than 6 hours after he had fled from them and locked himself in a church's boiler room. Police were looking for Owen as a suspect in a string of burglaries. But when they closed in on him, he bolted into the boiler room, and there he ended up stuck and in need of a police rescue. Apparently, he locked himself in a boiler room. Two Honolulu women and their dogs have been rescued after being lost at sea for months while trying to sail from Hawaii to Tahiti. The U.S. Navy rescued the women Wednesday after a Taiwanese fishing vessel spotted them about 900 miles southeast of Japan and alerted the U.S. Coast Guard.
Missed it by that much, that much being the Pacific Ocean.
The USS Ashland arrived early the next day. Jennifer Apple and Tasha Fayuba lost their engine in bad weather in late May. They believe they could still reach Tahiti without an engine. After 2 months, the women began making distress calls. But there were no vessels close, and they were too far out to sea for the signals to be detected by officials on land. So they finally picked them up, and obviously they had stowed away enough provisions.
Yeah, how much food did they take with them?
To take care of them and the dogs, or perhaps they did some fishing. They knew how to do that, but they survived.
Wow.
You know, what's become one of my favorite movies is the one that Tom Hanks made a few years ago, Castaway.
Mm-hmm.
Seen that one?
Good movie.
I think that's a great
Tom
movie.
Hanks, super in that.
Yeah. He's in a crash in the ocean, and then he's all by himself on an island for, 5 years? Kind of a Robinson Crusoe story.
Yep, a little bit.
But very, very, very interesting story. All right, 813 Steve and Ted, and as we've been reporting, is the 2,800 documents from the Kennedy years have been released, and, it's not going to. For those who believe in the conspiracy theories, it's probably not going to do much to assuage them. The theories are, if I may, that the CIA killed the president.
That's one of them.
That the mafia,
the mob, was involved is another theory.
There was even one that cast aspersions on George H.W. Bush as being behind it. Oil companies being behind it. I got a feeling what they don't
want. Castro.
Castro, the Cubans.
The Cubans were behind it. The Russians were behind it.
And I'm just thinking that he was a lone nut. I'm kind of buying into that. Anyway, those are the theories, and we'll see where it goes from here. The president says he's probably going to release some more of the rest of them here later on, at least some more of them. 8:14 with Steve and Ted here on a Friday morning. And, Ted, I believe our good friend Mitch Holtis is about to join us. I think he is. I'm feeling that.
You're sensing something, yes. It's our live weekly chat with Mitch Holtis, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch is gearing up for a huge pre-Halloween Monday night matchup between the Chiefs and the Broncos in Arrowhead Stadium as the tubular bells bring us in on this Halloween weekend. Good morning, Mitch.
No. Don't play tubular bells every year. Do it. That movie creeped me out. It still does. I can't even hear the music, and I break out into, hides. So it wasn't the lone gunman, Steve, but that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
Been hearing tubular bells. Okay.
Yeah. My head is spinning.
I got to get back on track.
My head is spinning around.
Yeah. But I don't feel so good. I feel like I got to throw up.
There you go.
Kind of like most Chiefs fans feel when the donkeys come
to
town.
There you go.
Absolutely. And we need an old priest and a young priest for the donkeys. I'm trying to, after going 5-0, losing two games in 5 days, and playing four games in 18. It's been crazy, but the Chiefs need to retool and take care of the donks. Appreciate a guy that's never scary, and that's Greg Reno at American Ag Credit for making this possible. A lot of people have discovered when they go to agloan.com what they can do, but Greg doesn't like the donkeys much. He just saw that big game between Garden Plain and Cheney. An awesome game. And now he's hoping the Chiefs can take care of business against the donks.
Chiefs, you mentioned, the Chiefs played those two games in 5 days. And now on the other end of that, you do get a week and a half until your next one, and even an extra day, too, by playing on Monday night. So the Chiefs have had a little time here. Was this time useful for the Chiefs?
Useful, necessary. Breath of fresh air. It has been really good for this team. They needed it. They were wiped out after that Oakland game and coming home, and we got home about 6 a.m. But that team was exhausted. And now kind of getting their legs back underneath him, getting Mitch Morse back probably at center. First time since game two against Philadelphia, that'll be good. Charkhandrick West back as the third down, two-minute back. That's going to help. Possibly getting the Canadian doctor back, Laurie Duvernay-Tardif. So, yes, it has been great. And I've just sensed there's kind of a refreshed mental group, too, to attack this game Monday night.
And, of course, we've referenced the game at Oakland, the game that the Chiefs had 30 points on the scoreboard at the end of the third quarter, but didn't get things done in the fourth quarter. And then two untimed downs after triple zeros were on the clock made for a strange ending and a road loss you didn't want to have.
Three different people at three different locations brought up the analogy, and Steve will remember this, the 1976 Olympic game against the old USSR.
Yep.
Where shot's no good, whoop, nah, we're going to do it over. Shot's no good, whoop, we're going to do it over. And it's good, and the Russians win. And Henry Ibe, I think, was the USA coach going crazy. It was bizarre. And I went through the game, and offense too, the last two series, if the Chiefs can convert one of those two third down and fours, they're going to win the game.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen. So, wow, they've got to get better. They've got to get better pass defense. And particularly, and I mentioned it to these guys, this is bizarre. Quarterbacks, some guys aren't even running routes for the other team. They just go to a spot and stop, and the quarterback just throws it straight up in the air.
Yep.
You know, like a Shaq Morris going for a rebound for the Shockers. It's crazy. And the Chiefs have got to start winning some of these battles starting Monday night.
Yeah, Oakland repeatedly was doing that in the fourth quarter, and they were sending two receivers to a spot and just throwing the ball there and saying, somebody get it.
I've never seen that. Now, part of the problem is not enough pressure on the guy throwing it.
Yeah.
If he's standing back there like he's playing, you know, beanbag toss at the Sunday school picnic, he can make those throws a little better. If he's got Chris Jones breathing down his ear hole, then it's a little bit different. So the Chiefs have got to attack the line of scrimmage Monday night. And I'm a Northwestern fan, so I've seen Trevor Siemian. I saw him beat your Notre Dame Fighting Irish a couple of years ago in overtime. But Siemian can be all over the board. He's scrambled eggs. And the Chiefs need to kind of crack the shell on him.
And, of course, this Broncos-Chiefs matchup, Arrowhead on a Monday night, the night before Halloween, will be a Richter scale off the charts, won't it?
Yeah.
Some fans have even said they're going to come dressed like Steve McIntosh.
Good luck.
Yeah, no, they'll be thrown out by security, but that, you know, go for it if you want to. It will be crazy. That place will be nuts. And you throw in the Halloween element, yeah, there'll be some interesting costumes at the game. But the Chiefs can beat the Broncos four straight times. If they do, it's the first time in 17 years they've had a four-game winning streak in the streak or in the series. And the Chiefs are 9-20 sandwiched between those two four-game winning streaks that the Chiefs win. But the Chiefs got to get back on track, get to 6-2. Because as bad as those two games are made everybody feel, two games in 5 days to lose them after a 5-0 start, the Chiefs are still 5-2. Nobody's ahead of them in the AFC, and only one team's ahead of them in the entire NFL, and that's Philadelphia, whose only loss was to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of perspective.
All right, I just want you to know that I once interviewed Linda Blair.
Oh, don't even go there.
Yeah. A delightful young woman. Talk about Shockers now, Ted.
Well, here's the deal. She's ruined for me in any role she can play. Mother Teresa or Queen Esther in a movie, and I can't look at her. I just like that. It's like Ned Beatty.
Oh, yeah.
But Ned Beatty in Deliverance. Yeah. Ned Beatty in Deliverance, I can't see him in any other role. And so it ruined it for me to have Linda Blair in that role. I can't even say the name of the movie. I can't.
Okay. Okay.
Awful.
Well, maybe I'll come to the Chiefs game in my Ned Beatty outfit and my tidy whities and see what goes on. All right. Let me see. Broncos Chiefs, Monday night before Halloween. Mitch, how does this Broncos Chiefs matchup somehow relate to Shocker football?
Somehow.
As part of our Eddie Plop at Shocker Football Kansas City Chiefs update.
It has nothing to do with Linda Blair and her head spinning around, okay? So we'll start with that. I wish that all former Shocker football players were Chiefs fans. But I am that would be a naive presumption, right?
Right.
There were some Shocker football players that were huge Bronco fans.
Right.
And one was Pat Kane. Pat Kane grew up in Denver, but he went to Cal Poly Pomona for a while, but then transferred to Wichita State, became a really good offensive lineman, a right tackle for the Shocks in 84 and 85, and was part of some big wins.
Yeah.
Pat Kane had a dream of playing professional football. Now, he bounced around Arena League, played some for the Denver Dynamo, and he got his shot to play in the NFL. He played three games in the NFL. He was part of the scab teams of the Detroit Lions of the 1987 strike.
You know,
the movie, The Replacements and all that?
Yeah.
Pat Kane played center for the Detroit Lions. This week was the last of his 3 weeks in 1987 that he played his dream of playing professional football. He got 3 weeks, and this was the third of the 3 weeks on this week in 87. But the cool stories I find more about Pat was he went back to Denver and became involved in helping kids and in getting psychiatric care for the kids that needed it the most. Now, he was a realtor, but he also worked at the Cleo Williams Center for helping those young kids. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end very well. He became sick with cancer. He had lung cancer and passed away in April of 2016, a year ago April, at way too young age of 54. But Pat Kane was a Bronco fan, but you know what? I'm going to forgive him for that because he was a good dude. And in 1987, this was the week he finished his 3 weeks of a dream of playing in the National Football League. So you can't have guys that follow NFL dreams or commit their lives to helping children that need it the most if you don't have a team. So bring it back, guys. Bring it back.
Good stuff.
There you go, Mitch.
Mitch, have a great call on Monday night. We'll be looking forward to hearing you broadcast that game right here on KNSS Monday night.
Thank you, boys. I need a young broadcaster and an old broadcaster.
The power of Andy Reid compels you.
The power of Entercom.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Our weekly chat with Mitch Holtis, play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, brought to you by Rusty Eck Ford.
8:23 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Liberals are screaming over the state of the country. Steve at 10 in the morning on KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.